You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast. Subscribe now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your favourite shows from. Now here are your hosts, Kieran Burke, Jonathan Breyer, and Gary Riley.
Hello everyone, welcome back to Between the Stripes LOI Podcast Series 6, Episode 31 coming your way much earlier in the week than usual. It's Monday night we're sitting down to record here, usually be a Tuesday or a Wednesday night we'd do the pod. But of course myself and Gary, and I'm sure many of you listening, heading over to Glasgow later in the week for the Ireland game. So it was now or never for the pod. And after such a brilliant and dramatic weekend in the FAI Cup and elsewhere as well, we simply couldn't head off without doing a show. So we've got Enda Curran on the pod tonight, an extended interview with the hat-trick hero for Treaty United the weekend. What a brilliant, brilliant performance and result for Treaty as they knocked out UCD, beat them by 4-1, and they're into the semi-finals where they'll take on Derry City. And lots of jibber-jabber, as you'd say, Gary, about the kickoff time. And we'll get to that later on. But look, we'll get stuck into the live game on telly. Yes, and I thought this was a cracking game, a great advert for the League of Ireland. Everything barred the pitch was a great advert. Derry City 3, Shamrock Rovers 1. But look, if Derry didn't win this one, if it had gone to penalties and they'd gone out, they would have been absolutely sick as parrots because they dominated the first half. I thought some of the football they played in the first half was some of the best football I've seen from any team this season. Didn't capitalise on the chances, missed a penalty. Rovers, definitely on an off day. But they showed, you know, the grit and determination of champions, got it back to 1-1. At times, you were starting to think, geez, they're going to go on and win this, even with the 10 men. But in the end, extra time came along and Derry run out 3-1 winners and deserving winners in the end, I think, too.
Oh, I'd be inclined to agree with you there. And I don't think there's too many that could disagree. I didn't see all of the match, unfortunately, but I saw most of the second half and extra time. And look, from what I saw, and I saw the penalty incident as well, I think it was clear that Derry did deserve to win that game, and it was probably the right result, all told. Did you think it was a penalty?
I did. I thought it was a penalty, and I thought it was a red card as well, because even before we even get to that, the defending itself from Gray, I think your argument about Grace has been enhanced over the last couple of weeks.
Can I just say one thing on that? I've been thinking this for a very, very, very long time, but I was
afraid to say it.
Not afraid to say it, but I was like, I get enough crap for the stuff I do come out with, but I've been very disappointed with Grace most of the time. I just don't think he's actually that good. But then again, I was thinking, well, he's in a very good defense, and I'm not sure that's much down to him.
This was a terrible defensive mistake. Just take this one isolated incident. People can have their own views on his performance throughout the season, but he gets caught wrong side from a ball out from the keeper. It's a simple ball over the top, something you would not expect Shamrock Rovers to get caught with. He gets caught wrong side. He panics. He pushes the defender in the back. That's not a genuine attempt to win the ball. That is a red card. So I think the referee got a spot on.
Yeah, people going on, it's harsh or it's this or that or the other. There's no room for harsh or not harsh. He didn't go for the ball. That's the long and the short of it. That's all that needs to be thought about. The referee got a perfectly correct got spot on. I will say one thing, though, and I said it to you. Was it McGonagall that he took down?
Yeah.
McGonagall wasn't in control of the ball. That's the only reservation I have about that. But yeah. I do agree it was a red card and it was a penalty. I have no qualms about that whatsoever. But I'd be just kind of, Ginny, you know, if that ball had bounced off that hard ground up there and bounced into next week, McGonagall wouldn't have had a hope of getting that ball, and would that have been the right call then?
I suppose, again, if the referee's just applying the laws of the game, it doesn't matter whether he's got the ball or not. If it's a foul, it's a foul. But I can see your argument there. Had the ref brandished a yellow, would we be sitting here saying he got it wrong?
We would have.
Well, I think he got it right anyway. So, look, it's very rare we say that on this show, but refs, I think the ref got it right. Patching missed one against Derry or against Rovers recently, misses another one. Look, is it just a bit of bad luck, or that run-up? It's not for everyone, is it?
No, it's not. Probably not for me either, but look, he's having a decent season as it is. I think he got man of the match as well, did he?
I actually can't recall who got man of the match, but one player I do want to touch on, you mentioned his name already, McGonagall. So he's been in and out of the team for quite a bit. He hadn't scored in 15 games, so obviously a huge relief to get that opening goal of the game. But I just thought his general performance, his general hold-up play, just his general centre-forward play was absolutely brilliant. There was one, just something so simple in the game. Little things like this I spot about centre-forwards. There's a big ball up. He takes a look over the shoulder. He sees Cleary coming. Backs in. Takes another look over the shoulder. Sees Cleary has the elbow up. Just backs into him, goes down like a sack of spuds. Free kick, get your team up the pitch. You know, he was just doing things like that all game. Anytime the ball came up to him, even against two men, he managed to somehow get it down and he made it stick and he brought teammates into the game and got Derry up the park. I thought his general centre-forward performance was fantastic and great to see him back on the score sheet.
Yeah, 100%. And look, he definitely needed that. He needed a big performance as well as a goal. It's been a while. Like, I've said it to you many times that you go mad about a fella that scores with any number of goals in the first 10 games. You think he's going to run the league for the rest of the season. But I think on this particular case, he's had a very difficult time. He was in the team and out of the team, not getting many starts. And when he did, like, he got a good opportunity to bag a couple of goals against UCD during the summer. He didn't take it. And it was a penalty that was required to win that game for Derry. And I was expecting McGonagall maybe to find a bit of form against, you know, the bottom team in the division. And he was actually, not only did he not score, but he was actually quite poor in the game. So it's good to see that he's turned it around and, you know,
Maybe it's just the confidence to finish the season strongly now. Look, just on Shamrock Rovers, we were obviously at their European game a few weeks ago, and we said on the show last week we felt the left points behind, and then they took a hammering off midweek again. Took a hammering against Ghent. Some really, really bad defensive errors. Cleary got away with one against Jig Gardens, and then he just has a complete brain fart against Ghent. That's a goal you can't concede at any level of the game, let alone in the group stages of Europe. And just it's not too often we've said it this season at any stage, but this has been a bad week for Shamrock Rovers. Again, the hopes of a double gone, and, you know, a right hammer in Europe as well to go with it.
Yeah, definitely. I think there's a lot of suspect players. A lot is a strong word. Now, I have been quite open about my dislike for my man Dylan Watts. He's not a Shamrock Rovers player. When it comes down to it, in the big games, I don't watch that many Shamrock Rovers games. But in the big ones, he is anonymous. Shamrock Rovers might as well have been playing with 10 men on Thursday. He did not run. He did not track. He did everything that he could possibly do to hamper Rovers in their quest to get something out of that game. He did. He was horrendous. And there's not enough people talking about that. He was stink. And
I put up the little clip last week. I said, you remember me saying on the pod last week that I just have a suspicion there's always a mistake in this Rovers back three. I look at Cleary. Right. I said it when he was with Dundalk. I said it when he signed for Rovers. I'm not a fan. He's rash in his defending. He overplays out from the back. Yeah, and he got caught the other night doing that. Hoare is exactly the same. How many times have we seen him caught in European games? And you've raised some reservations about Grace. And look, Rovers fans will laugh at us and they'll say, look at the table, look at the clean sheets and all the rest. But against a higher calibre of opposition, I think some of the issues that we've highlighted have started to be shown, you know, they've been shown up a little bit more.
Yeah, they have. But I will say one thing, you know, people going on about Alan Manis being 40 and how heroic he is. And he's good. I like him. But what was he doing passing to Daniel Cleary there in the first place?
Yeah.
What was that about?
But I mean, you said it going into this group stage campaign, that they have to learn from the mistakes they made in Hungary against Ludogorets.
Bulgaria,
against Ludogorets. That free kick in the 90-something minute where they try and play out from the back at 2-0 down. They haven't learned from that. They've got great results at home. And again, I think they should have been a bit more ambitious in the first home game. I thought that was a real chance to set out their stall. And I think they'll regret that come the end of the campaign. But away from home, results haven't been good. And game management and some of the defending is a big, big part of that.
Oh, but it's atrocious. Like even like forgetting about the game last night against Derry. Like, there were so many bad things in that game in Ghent. Like, there were nowhere, whatever about conceding the first goal, right? You know, these things happen. But then 5 minutes later, to start this crack, passing it into the 6-yard box.
Yeah.
You know, what's going on? Who do you think you are? With the greatest of respect, they're the best team in the country, which is great. But you're playing against an opposition that are regularly in Europe. What are you doing? Inviting pressure like that after going 1-0 down, keep it tight, let's see what we can do. Maybe we can nick something. I want to ask you a question, right? I think you probably know what it is.
I don't.
Compare this team, the Shamrock Rovers team, balling, bar the cup. They're winning the league. They're in the group stages of the Conference League. How would you rate them against the Dundalk of 2016?
Nowhere near them.
2016 or 2017?
2016, nowhere near them.
How far away?
Miles.
Miles?
Yeah.
Why do you say that now? Apart from the obvious.
My obvious bias, but let's remember Dundalk were in the group stages of the Europa League.
Yeah.
A higher up competition and a very tough group. Zenit, Alkmaar, and then okay, the Israeli side, but then again, they'd be experienced enough in Europe. Dundalk went out into every game with a belief that we were as good as these,
yeah,
and we can play. They didn't really alter, they played their game. Now, when they went away from home, I listened to an interview with Kenny recently. I think he was talking about the Bate Borisov game. They defended by keeping the ball, they kept the ball deep, and they defended by keeping the ball. Like you can say Rovers are going into games with kind of a belief as well, because they're trying to play out from the back like that. But, and I know Dundalk did make some, I think Brian Gartland, I remember him having a few bad mistakes getting caught playing out. But
My man, Gary.
Yeah. I just think that the Dundalk team, the football they played, it's just hard to put. Look, it's easy to say because the results kind of, like, they got points on the board. They got what? They got 4 points in that group stage.
4 points. They got a win and
a draw, and very unlucky not to beat Zenit in Tala. You know, the Legia Warsaw game decisions went against them. Champions League playoffs, all the rest. But
and what a goal that was from Benson! Just as an aside, that
for me they're nowhere near. It's hard to put it into words, but for me, I don't think, you know. There's been a lot of talk that I actually do think this is the best squad. This Rover squad is the best squad ever assembled in the league.
But, say that again.
I think it's the best squad of players ever assembled in the league.
The Shamrock Rovers team?
Yeah. Certainly in the last 20 years. Maybe people might say the Shells team.
The last 20 years?
People might say the Shells team, maybe.
Well, I've told you before in private that there should be an absolute asterisk the size of Dublin on that team. But that's a conversation for a different day. But I think this current Shamrock Rovers team are the best team ever assembled in the last 20 years.
Yeah. The squad depth is incredible.
But they're not showing that when it comes down to
it. I'm just talking about squad assembled. I'm not talking about, I've said it, Dundalk was better. Dundalk did doubles and qualified for Europe.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they have a long way to go. The difference is, though, and what I'd be putting a bit more stock in, like, if you remember when Stephen Kenny signed on to manage Dundalk at his unveiling in some hotel in Dundalk, he was videoed outside the room and he's like, I have two players signed on. And this is in January or something like that.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do. Basically, it was what he was saying. And where did they come that year? The first year under Kenny? They come second, isn't it?
Second, yeah.
Yeah, and then they won it next year and then they won Europe the year after.
Yeah.
Jesus, like, I think Rovers have a bit of the way to go, which is quite disappointing for all their good play and domination and everything. They've come from such a higher base than where Dundalk came from.
Yeah, they have, yeah.
But just bringing it back to Shamrock Rovers, It was a damaging week. You said it right from the outset. It's been a poor week. I think there's been, you know, I don't want to hammer, you know, they were playing against good opposition, but there was a lot of rubbish performance.
I just thought the game management was atrocious. I think that's the big difference between Dundalk. As I said, there was individual mistakes from Dundalk, but as a unit,
they were good.
They wouldn't have performed like that.
No, I don't think so. There's players, I don't get excited. I don't know what it is. I like Rovers. They're a good team and they're beating the crap out of everybody in the league. But, like, I don't know. I just think, like,
said to you at the first, the Gigardens game, we were talking about this crap of, you know, what's standing on top of a lad's toes and just these little 1 yard passes to each other. And I said to you, it's almost like they're in Europe now. And they think, right, we're in Europe. We have to make 700 passes in a game. Yeah. Whereas in the league, if they see Gaffney down the channel, they're going to hit it to him. I'm not trying to suggest Rovers play long ball. They certainly don't. They play good football, as we all know. But I thought the other night, there was several times before they even conceded the first goal where there was opportunities to play it forward and instead it was a backwards or sideways pass.
Yeah.
And I just thought they were playing with, I thought in the first game and I thought watching them tonight, they're playing with fear going out a little bit.
In Europe, you think?
Yeah, I think they are.
Jenny Mac, I'm not sure about fear, but there's definitely reservations.
There is a sense of occasion overwhelm. I don't know. I just don't think there was times there. I seen Gaffney. I was like, hit him, and they didn't do it. And if that's a league game, they just do it without thinking.
Maybe so, but yeah, no, I do see what you're saying. I think the like of Watts has to go. I haven't been impressed with Gary O'Neill.
No, I'm not seeing enough of him
in years. I'd say. Ronan Finn wasn't actually that bad.
The two lads we were sitting next to in the first game weren't impressed with Finn. I think he's been the most solid performer across the two games. He gets the ball and he just keeps it well. He doesn't overcomplicate it. You can tell he's obviously got that experience from years gone by of playing in Europe. I think he's been quite solid, Finn, but look, defensively, you can't defend like that at any level of the game and get away with it. So, look, it's been, as I said, a rare bad week for Rovers. We'll have to see how they bounce back. They've got a game on Thursday away to Shell, so that'll be interesting because Derry now only a point behind, but Rovers have those games in hand. Speaking of Shells, Shelburne 3, Bowes 0. I watched this one yesterday as well. It was great to watch. Sit down and watch the two games.
Yeah.
I want to give Shells their credit first. Worked extremely hard. I don't think this was a game of really high quality. The first goal from Shells was brilliant. Moylan, shame to see him go off injured. Hopefully he'll shake that off and get back on the pitch quickly because it's great seeing players do things like that. You know, good players scoring good goals. So I hope he gets back fit. But I thought just Shells outworked Bowes. Far better team. 3-0 was 100% a fair reflection. But I thought that's all really Shells had to do was work harder than Bowes here. I don't think, as I said, there was huge amounts of quality in this game. Bowes were an absolute disgrace. And it's okay for me to say that because Bowes, in fairness themselves, have come out and said that. Their fans have said it. And more importantly, Pender's come out and said it. He said the performance was disgraceful and it was unacceptable. But my God, that Bowes dressing room needs to be absolutely gutted because yesterday was shambolic.
It was an embarrassment, an absolute embarrassment. You know, a lot of, particularly after Long left, and, you know, there was a lot of resignation to the fact that the league or the season was over, bar the cup. And now that's gone. And not only that, to go out in the manner they did against a rival like that, and in particular, you know, I heard it from quite a few Bowes fans saying we always beat Shells type idea. You know, there was a type of entitlement. We worry about the next round. Not to say that they weren't giving Shells some respect competitively.
But I don't think anyone's seen this coming. I was down in the home house and the other boy sat down and watched the two games with me and I said, this will be, you know, tight, cagey. I think 0-0 after the 90 and extra time and penalties maybe. 3-0 and a proper pasting.
Oh, yeah. Like
I couldn't believe it.
Well, is it not that unbelievable?
No, I was just going to say that. It's not really because this has been the type of crap Bowes have churned out all season. I suppose it just begs the bigger question. Where are Bowes going now as a football club? Because they made the decision to sack Long. I think that was the wrong decision at the wrong time. I think he deserved to see the season out. If this was Long in charge now, you'd say, yeah, get him out. 3-0. But, I mean, the season's over now. So I suppose it's just for Bowes to make a decision. Who's going to come in? They need to make that decision quickly because they signed a lot of players in the summer window. What, yeah. 9 players came in? I'd imagine those lads didn't sign 6-month contracts. So Bowes could be stuck with quite a few of these players now, but they need to get someone in there and be ruthless about it and decide what they're going to do with some of these players because the vast majority of them in that dressing room, they're simply not, they shouldn't be there.
No, that's very true. And I think what needs to be said as well, and you saw some of that in recent times with... or not recent times, in the time after the game, a lot of Bowes fans going on, 14 of these players are signed on for next year. So as you said, the boys that came over from the UK or wherever that signed on for during the summer, they didn't sign on for 6 months. They're not sitting in an Airbnb.
I wasn't aware it was that many players signed up for next year. That's hugely worrying.
But that's devastating.
Yeah.
That's devastating.
It really hampers you doing a rebuild.
Well, you can't do a rebuild.
Unless you want to lose a lot of money and just cut contracts.
Yeah, but like all we're here, like in the week, they're in the Sunday Business Post there.
I was reading it, yeah. Very impressive, we must say. But
great. Said, you might as well be talking about a clothing brand. Like,
Yeah.
Selling t-shirts. Like, sure, who cares? It's nothing to do with it. It's great that the financials are there. That's wonderful. If you're going on about 9 of those players, if you're looking at any of them yesterday, that's money that they've just put a match to. You'd be better off losing the money out of your pocket than what they've spent it on. Because now it's an ongoing expense. And I don't see any light at the end of the tunnel here.
They need to make a decision quickly.
I'm aware. I think they've interviewed someone who I wouldn't be mad on myself. And
they tell me that after the show,
that they have not progressed with, and that's fine. I want to something that I found interesting. Some Bowes lad was going on right about Pender when he came on as a coach. This is when Bowes went downhill,
right.
No, it's interesting. I can't remember who it was. I just thought about it, and I was thinking about last season. You know, some good points and plenty of bad points, I suppose, as well. Like, the cup was going to put a big shine on it if they'd won it.
That just be down to unfortunate timing, though, with certain players leaving and turnover and all the rest.
I don't know. I think it's just an interesting point. I was not that I was glad to see it. I was just more like, well, I'm glad I'm not. I don't think Pender should get the job. I just think he's too fresh into it. But they need to make a decision soon.
Yeah.
And I don't want to talk about it really because we're going to get into the same conversation that everybody's having, and then it's just going to be like, oh, well, the club is in a great state. What club? Losing every game you play, like it. But they're not that bad, but they might as well be. Like, they're at nothing. They're at nothing on the pitch.
No.
And it doesn't seem to be turning around. And you know what? With 14 of those players signed on for next season, the only lad that people were talking about in any way positively was Bert.
And he won't be there. He won't be next to near it.
He'd be better off signing for Town. Than playing with Bowes next year. If 14 of his colleagues from yesterday are still going to be knocking around there in 8 months' time or 6 months' time or whenever the season starts next year, I wouldn't want to be next to near that. The one thing we have to say, and we said it last week, there is not one leader associated with Bohemians at the minute in a footballing capacity. Not one leader. Everybody passing the buck, no commitment, no standards, no nothing. Like kind of what we talked about last week with Dundalk at the UCD game. No one setting the standards, no one going, this is unacceptable. What's going to be done about it? What are you going to do about it? Are you going to take ownership of your own bad performances? The same boys will be out on Friday. again. Well, they won't be out Friday because
Saturday
at 4 o'clock.
Yeah.
But it'll just be another bloodbath, probably. Who are they playing, do you know?
Way to Harps.
Oh, Janie Mac, this is just awful news for UCD. Awful news for UCD. Couldn't have a worse team play Harps.
We'll preview it later. We'll move on. You touched on them there. Dundalk, another 3-2 defeat this week. And once again, I don't know. Did you call a Waterford?
Well, actually, can I just ask a question?
Yeah.
Just on Bowes. Any statement out from Bowes today, no?
Not that I've seen. I was at work today, so I don't know.
All right, okay. Maybe some of our Bowes fans can let us know if there's any statements from the club out today. And about bottles or anything like that. No?
We'll touch on that later as well. Unfortunately, again, issue rearing its head at the weekend across the league. But I want to get on to the game at the RSC, because I said at the top of the show about the game yesterday.
Another great one, yeah.
The Brandywell, great advert, unbelievable atmosphere. I thought a really exciting game, just a pity about the pitch. But Waterford and Dundalk was a brilliant advert for the cup as well. Atmosphere, great game of football. And for me, everyone's talking about Patterson's goal, and rightfully so. But for me, his performance, one of the great individual cup performances. He was absolutely unplayable the other night.
He was.
Makes the question, what's he doing at this level?
God only knows. God only knows. Now, I heard rumours during the summer that he was being...
Well, there were several in for him, I think. But whatever Waterford done to keep him, then bravo. I
just don't think it's, the right money didn't come. Which is insanity when you think about it.
Yeah.
But look, we don't know. He's with Waterford now for the rest of the season. He's looking into a cup semi-final now, into the playoffs. You know, it's in a real positive place for
he'll have any amount of offers now, regardless if they lose every game between now and the end of the season. But imagine if he puts on a masterclass in a semi-final, gets them to a final, and he has a good game in the final, that'll open up even more avenues, like even wider avenues, maybe a move back to England or wherever. So look, he's just a wonderful player to watch. Junior was brilliant as well. But as a whole, Waterford were fantastic and deserved it. There's no doubt about the outcome here. And any Dundalk fan I spoke to as well said the same, that Waterford were fitter, stronger, faster, better on the ball. They were just the better team all round. It was another dreadful night for Dundalk.
Oh, it was. Absolutely was, and they started the game with Gartland, didn't they?
Well, yeah, that was interesting. So, like we've spoken about, you've asked me, is O'Donnell too stubborn? He changed. Went to a back three. It was Gartland.
Stubborn wasn't the word I used, but go on.
Gartland, McCary, and Boyle were the back three, and then two wing backs, and they did play deeper. I wouldn't say they totally abandoned the high line, but they definitely played deeper. And even though I was watching it on the stream, I wasn't there. You could just see in the bottom corner of the picture a lot of the time, Gartland organising around them, constantly moving people around. So I thought that was one thing that they kind of half rectified. They still conceded three goals, but that's just because even if they play on the 18-yard line, teams are still going to get in behind because there's just no pace whatsoever. And even in the first half, several times Waterford treaded a ball in behind the centre halves, and it was just slightly overhit. The keeper came out and did a good job of sweeping off his line. That's something he has to do a lot. Or the flag went up. But you could just see it was coming. It was a matter of time before they got one right. But I was pleased to see that from a Dundalk perspective. I was like, okay, they're attempting to rectify this. But the other problem up the other end was then no Hoban, no nothing. They didn't look like scoring.
Who was playing up front for them?
John Martin. Never got a sniff.
Never got a sniff. Yeah, well.
Look, Bradley with another stinker of a performance as well.
Yeah, but the
again, a player. We were both travelling back up from Longford yesterday, and we pulled in for a cup of coffee along the way, just to have a bit of a chin wag. And we were like, in your own head sometimes when we're doing this show, we think, are we total lunatics? Because like people are raving about certain players, and then we're like, geez, I wouldn't have him in the Longford team.
Yeah.
A player I've said that to people about the last 3 years is Greg Sloga. He just doesn't do it for me. I couldn't tell you what type of midfielder he is, whether he's a holding player, attacking player. I just don't see it. He runs around, he's athletic, he looks like a footballer, but he's not good enough. And I thought he had another shocking performance in the midfield the other night.
Yeah, look,
I don't want to go picking out individual players because as a collective, Dundalk were crap. But I think there's certain players there in that squad that they just aren't good enough.
Yeah, and to be honest with you, while I'm not a fan of Slaggett, I don't think he's one of them that you'd have out of that team that quick either. There's other lads there that shouldn't be next to near it. But just taking this game in and of itself, they shouldn't have even been 1-0 up. You were going on Twitter that it was a banger, an absolute worldly, and everybody else going on about that's an own goal. That's not to do with Paul Doyle.
The keeper was unlucky.
The keeper was unlucky, but like, what a smack. If it went out into the car park, it would have been the exact same. Paul Doyle just happened to get around the goals, and the keeper was unlucky. Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't need to, like, caught ourselves into thinking Dundalk weren't that bad. I know you're saying they were useless, but, like, there was nothing good about the Dundalk performance on Friday. They didn't deserve anything from that game at all. No. And I think it's going to get worse.
It is.
The end of the season is going to be a welcome release for Dundalk because I don't see anything positive.
Well,
how far are Pats away?
Pats are they 1 point behind?
Oh
yeah, Pats are right up their backside. Now, Pats is, I said it the last several weeks, Pats is getting that last spot. There's no doubt in my mind Dundalk won't get it.
Yeah,
particularly without Hooban. If they get him back, then maybe they might have half a chance. 2 points, but Pats have a game in hand.
Oh, that's it, brown bread.
Yeah.
If Pats can probably lose a few games.
Dundalk season now is, ironically, all the giving out they've done about Rory Higgins and Derry. You might find come cup final day, there might be Dundalk fans up there draped in the red and white looking for Derry.
We love you, Rory. We love you. We always loved you. Yeah. Mark Connolly, please. Any other lad. Yeah, well, look, there you go. Best of pals all of a sudden. But look, I think... Dundalk season is rapidly fading away.
Again, as I said last week, if finish fourth and miss out on Europe, huge step forward by Dundalk this season. And I'm sure O'Donnell knows what needs to be rectified going into next season. He needs an entirely new back four. He needs more backup for Hooban when Hooban's injured. And he probably just needs some better creative midfielders. That's a lot of players to try and sign. But
can I interject here and send this on a tangent? I was thinking, you were saying a lot this year that it's not a great league, the quality isn't great.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was thinking, yeah, I see what he's saying, but then a lot of teams did really well in Europe.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe it's not that bad. But is it just me, or is the quality... No, it's obviously not just me, but like... That's a crap Dundalk team.
They're not great.
And they're third.
Hmm.
Pats were crap in the early part of the season. Now they've gone on a 5-game winning streak. Sligo are fifth. Now they're languishing in fifth. They're not going to get anything better. And I think fifth will do them at the minute.
Bang average side.
Bang average. Bows are in sixth and they're rubbish. Shells can't score a goal even though they scored 3 on Friday. They haven't won a game in 5 in the league. You know, like, am I... You know, I think it's what we were talking about. Am I seeing watching the same football as the rest of us? And the wider football and League of Ireland supporter base? Like, I don't know. I just, you know, there's some nice bits of play, but geez, there's a lot of dirt. A lot of dirt.
Yeah,
am I wet or what? Am I? What do you think?
No, that's what I... Maybe not in them exact words, but that's you're kind of, I suppose you're just passing on what I've said all year, aren't you, really?
Oh, is that it? Yeah. But, like, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I really don't know. Like Shamrock Rovers, they're doing well, beating the teams, but they're a very good League of Ireland side.
Yeah. But
venturing out of that, well, yes, they've had some great results in Europe this year, and yes, they qualified for the group stages. But I was fully expecting Shamrock Rovers to beat them Drew Gardens boys, and they didn't go near them. I don't know. I know. I think it's easy to say, oh yeah, back in my day it was better, or like last year was better than this year. We're all saying that, but like, I don't know. I think just this isn't a great year of quality in the league.
No, I'd agree.
As a whole. I think it's disappointing that Dundalk are third.
Well, their home form has played a massive part in that. Have they lost at home?
I don't believe so.
I don't think so, no. I think they're still unbeaten at home.
They're unbeaten at home, yeah. Yeah. I don't know at all. I don't know what. Maybe I really haven't a clue what I'm talking about at all, but I just think...
That's what most of the listeners would say, but... We'll move on. This was a surprise scoreline. Yeah. Look, if Treaty had come away in 1-2-1 on the night or whatever, you'd say, okay, fair enough, home side, blah, blah, blah. 4-1, a hammering, a brilliant performance, a great night for Limerick football. And we'll come to the semi-final draw in a second. They didn't get the luck of the draw, unfortunately, but our man, Enda Curran. Wow.
Yeah, Jesus.
I'm going to hear from him in a minute, but I said it to you yesterday, and you were like, what? That can't be right. 16 goals in 22 games in all competitions when he's missed out through injury and illness this time, numerous games this season. This man could be posting Erling Haaland like figures if he had been fully fit.
Honest to God, he could have. I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is at all. Like, he's always scored goals, though.
Enda Haaland.
I don't know about that. Doesn't have the same ring to it as Enda Curran. But I don't know at all. Like, what a performance, you know, and what a great night for Treaty.
Mm.
One of their biggest nights in their short history, to be fair. And, you know, to be in and around, like, to have to travel to Derry is a pain, but it's still a great occasion.
Let's pick up on that. I'm sure you've probably seen the upset on social media today from Treaty fans. They're not impressed with the 2 o'clock kickoff time. My thoughts on it.
Is that decided?
2 o'clock kickoff, live on RT, and then the other game will follow at 4:45.
What? The two semifinals are on the same day?
Yeah, they are, yeah. I think it's great. I think it's great for TV. Two games on RT. But from an RT point of view, look, no disrespect to Treaty. Derry's going to go off sevens or eights on in this, in betting terms. So this could be an extremely one-sided game. So if I'm scheduling that, I don't want that being the second game on the afternoon. I want, you know, building into a big main event. So that's going to be Waterford and Shells, which is going to be look. Shells
is the first game on telly.
Treaty, yeah, we're keep up, lad. Derry, Treaty, 2 o'clock, 4:45.
No. Is this the first game of?
Oh, sorry, I misheard you there.
Lad. Some neck.
Yeah, it would be. I'd imagine. Yeah, it would be the first ever televised game. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's your first ever game in your second year of existence. With the greatest of respect, you have no business telling anybody anything. Sorry.
Either way here, RT can't win. As I was saying, if I'm looking at this from a scheduling point of view, looking at that first game and saying it could be one-sided. Let's put that on as a build-up. And then the big game from the RSE, that's the main event. If they put the Treaty game on later, the FEI still can't win because then people would say, oh, it's a Sunday, it's a disgrace, the children won't get home till 12 o'clock at night from Derry or whatever.
Yeah.
They can't win either way here. I am afraid that I would agree with the scheduling of this. People making the point, this is very unfair on an amateur team. I'm sorry, lads. You're playing in a professional setting here.
Yeah. You want to be treated like professionals.
Exactly. Yeah.
Who was saying that?
That's a lot of the tweets I've seen today. Not fair on an amateur team. Sorry,
what has Scott got to do with Anne?
If you get to the cup final, it's 3 o'clock of a Sunday going to suit everyone. Is that not fair on a professional team? I mean, come on, like.
Oh, get a grip. Anybody that says that, delete your Twitter, delete your mouth. There's nothing to say. I think this is... There needs to be more. It's probably a thing with League of Ireland fans, to be fair. We love a moan.
Yeah, I love it.
Absolutely.
That's what this podcast
it.
Is built on, to be fair.
Built on moaning, yeah, absolutely. And I'm the biggest moaner. I'm surprised you didn't ask me to come on years ago. But come on, like this is such a huge occasion for the club, for, as you said, for Limerick football. This is the future of football in Limerick. A huge occasion like this. I was hoping that it would be on in Limerick. It would have been brilliant. It's unfortunate that Derry are at home. That's the luck of the draw, literally.
The luck. Wink, wink.
Yeah. Come on to that in a minute. But at the same time, someone said, well, this is crazy at the same time, some Treaty fan said, oh, two games away from Europe. Right? That's one thing. Just take the game, a semi-final, it's on telly, your first ever game on telly, you'll get to go up to one of the best stadiums in the country and play against one of the best teams.
That's a great prospect for me as a fan. Setting off at 6 or 7 in the morning on the bus, get a few tins in. Jeez, I can't think of anything better. I know it's a Sunday and you might
get
work the
next roll
day.
The whole lot.
Take it off.
Call in sick if you have no holidays off or left or whatever. Make it happen, for the Lord's God. The first ever semi-final for the club. You've never got this far before. You don't know what you're doing. One game from the Aviva. Who knows what had happened?
Yeah.
Honest to God, this is a huge positive. Take it as that. Look at your players that have brought you to here. A 4-0 beating against a Premier Division side. Yes, the team that's second from bottom. But they've been playing a lot of good football all season. You got them one over on them from the playoff semi-final last year. There is nothing but positive. Enda Curran is in some form of health, and he scored a hat-trick. Keep him in under bubble wrap now until the semi-final, and who knows what would happen. I can well see that fella tearing off, waving into the crowd after scoring a header, baiting the, you know, God knows what. Who knows? Take it as a positive. It's a huge occasion. Take it as it is. Look forward to it. Oh, the time and the this and that and the other. Imagine if it was 7:45 of Friday up in there.
Imagine they get into Europe. Can't be traveling to Kazakhstan of a Tuesday. Just, you're not in rude health, are you?
A bit of a cough, but I'm all right.
As you said, the one man that is in rude health, Enda Curran. Hat-trick hero of the weekend, and he's going to join us on the show now for an extended chat. So here's Enda Curran on Between the Stripes, LOI Podcast. I'm delighted to say we're joined on the show by our good friend and the hat-trick hero of the weekend in the FAI Cup quarter-final as Treaty United knocked out Premier Division side UCD. Enda Curran joins us on Between the Stripes, LOI Podcast. Enda, good to see you. How are you keeping?
Oh, good. Now, carrying yourself. Thanks for having me.
You can't really complain after the weekend you're after having, can you?
No, it was one of the better nights overall that since being it starting off in the league all the years ago. It's one of the best weekends I had. Thoroughly enjoyable, and hopefully there's one or two more left like that.
I was going to ask you that. I mean, you've won a First Division title, and I suppose you've had great success locally as well outside of League of Ireland. But where does Friday night rank in your League of Ireland, or just in your football career in general?
It's definitely up there. This is the furthest I've gone in the cup in all the years that I've played. But even to do it with that bunch of lads, it's like, to be honest with you, Kieran, nothing is expected of us. Every game we go into, it doesn't matter who we play, we're always the underdog and just constantly punching above our weight. So to go and beat someone like of the Premier Division caliber, it's a massive result for us, like, and the club as a whole. And from talking to the lads down in Limerick, it's given the place a right lift. Now, look, it would have been great if we got a home draw, because there was a good crowd at the game against UCD. But like, if there was ever a squad that deserves to be followed, it's these lads. Like, I'm sure you've seen Tommy's interviews where it's actually costing a lot of lads money to play League of Ireland. Like, so, like, that sums it up, and you just try and get more people into the market too.
Yeah, the semi-final draw, I'm sure you were watching it yesterday. What was the immediate reaction? Obviously, you have history with Derry City, but in terms of difficult draws, it was definitely the most difficult draw you could have got.
Look, I watched Derry and Rovers yesterday, and my immediate reaction was to text Alan Keane, another go, and just say thanks very much. Couldn't have made it any easier. But I know, look, it's a massive occasion for the club. Like, we can't take these days like them for granted, going up to the Brandywell. Like, for the younger lads in the squad that might have never played in the Brandywell, never won't have played in the stadium with that kind of atmosphere, you name it. And look, we all know how good Derry are, but look, we're looking forward to it. We're going to try and give it a crack and see. Won't change too much the way we always play. I don't see what's the point in changing now when we're going so well. But look, we know it's going to be, it's a tough ask, but it's one we're willing to give it a go anyway and see.
As you said, it's going to be a great occasion for Treaty United, only fresh on the scene in League of Ireland football and into a cup semi-final. But already a lot of supporters are not happy with the kickoff time, 2 o'clock. Look, obviously from a supporter's point of view, you can understand why they're going to have to get up very early and all the rest. But from a team perspective and a player's perspective, how do you think that might affect you, or will it affect you at all?
Well, like, it's still 4.5 hours from Galway to Derry, let alone Limerick to Derry. Just think, a bit of common sense kind of goes a long way. Like, look, as I said, I've been kind of around long enough, but a bit of common sense goes a long way. It's hard enough to get people in and try and buy into the league. Now the crowds have improved, like, but putting that on at 2 o'clock, like, even if they said put it on, I know you might get back to late, but to put the second, our game on second, or vice versa. Well, I'm sure there's another way around it, but I just think it's a big ask. Like, I was looking on Twitter just before I came on here, and I seen one of the Limerick supporters had up that they're going to have to leave at 6:30 in the morning. Now, if he has small kids and getting a child up at 6:30 in the morning, come back after the game, that child is going to be wall falling in school on Monday. And the kids are what you want to be bringing to the game. And
I suppose, as you said, though, just to play devil's advocate a little bit, if the game was on later, you know, a parent maybe is going to look at that and say, well, I'm not going to bring the child because it'd be far too late at home.
Look, so I can understand that there's going to be kind of, I suppose, negative to both times. Like, but again, I just think it's a big ask. Even the supporters, bus there leaving at 6:30, whatever it is, it's a big ask.
Even just for you probably haven't discussed it with Tommy yet, or Tommy hasn't discussed it with you, but will there be any changes to your preparation and how that will work? Is there any chance you might be able to go up the night before, or does the budget not allow for that? Or,
well, that's I think that's something we're all kind of wondering, but we don't know. I'm sure the club will give us every opportunity to have a good go at this and see, can we make the final of the FAI Cup. I know it's a big ask, but look, I'm sure the club will try and figure some way around it. But definitely at the minute I'm looking at it and I'm saying, like, I remember playing with Derry and you played against Cork. We used to travel down the day before. And then you just sacrificed yourself after the game, might be 10 o'clock. I remember not getting home till 6 in the morning and then trying to sleep. And oh, it just doesn't work.
Yeah,
it doesn't work. And especially now with me, like, I'm working as well, so by the time we get home from that game, it'll be reasonable enough to go into work the following day, which is grand. But I suppose the club are going to try and have a look at some sort of avenue, but I haven't really been speaking to anyone about it since.
And look, I know we're always jibing at you here on the podcast, and we were just talking off air and we're saying your goal record this season is absolutely unbelievable. I think I looked it up today and it was 16 goals in 22 appearances in all competitions, but unfortunately you've missed large chunks of the season. So I'm asking this in a genuine sense. I think when I had you on before as well, you mentioned that one of the reasons you can't really play full time anymore is your body simply doesn't allow it. Will the pitch up there cause you any issues personally?
I don't see why not. I don't see why it won't cause me issues, because it's more of a once-off thing. When we play at Athlone, the Athlone surface is excellent, and I'm sure the Brandywell is the same. Like, I haven't been on it, or I've seen it on the telly and stuff like that and highlights, but I'm sure that's it. If it's 5G or 4G, whatever it is, it'll be well looked after. So I can't see why it'd cause me any problems. I actually don't mind playing on Astro. It's just the following day.
Right.
But other than that, it doesn't seem to, I can't see it cause me a major issue, but looking forward to it now, going back up there as well. So
obviously it would have been the old Brandywell when you were there, wouldn't it?
Yeah, it was the grass. It wasn't the flattest of surfaces, I think. When I first went up there, one corner flag to the other corner flag was something like 10 foot in a height difference, the groundsman told me. But I'm sure that that's all sorted.
You're probably one of the few players in the league that doesn't mind playing on it, because I don't know, were you watching the live coverage on RT yesterday? Alan Cawley and Johnny McDonald, they give it a right old hammering on the live coverage, and just most players you speak to, they just don't really see a place for it at all in the game.
Like, it's when you're on the pitch and you're playing, it's fine, because the ball moves quick, it's fine on the grass. Like, it's always the following day. And it's not even muscular injuries. It's always joints, your back, your knees, your ankles, your hips, you name it.
No giving.
Yeah. Like myself and Mark Ludden were like two tin men coming off the Athlone one. John Seagull's tube was trying to get out of the car. It was a sight for sore eyes. But look, it's a cup semi-final. It doesn't matter if you put it on a car park. It's an occasion that everyone is looking forward to. I think everyone's kind of... I got a couple of messages on Twitter from a couple of people involved with Rovers and whatnot, and they were saying we're rooting for you to try and go and win it. And I said, Jesus, relax a minute now. We'll just take one game at a time and see what we can do. See, can we pose them a problem? And see, look, we know it's a massive ask, but yeah, looking forward to getting up. And we just want to get to playoffs first, get that secured.
I was just going to ask now, you've got a big game coming up Saturday against Longford. Unfortunately, I won't be there, but... yeah, how do you go about balancing these two competitions now going forward?
Well, I think like Tommy, Calla, Mick, the backroom staff are always kind of, we've never looked too far because of, say, where the club is at. Even when I signed, it was always going to be a hard ask to try and get the playoffs. But internally, we knew how good of a squad is actually there. To be honest with you, I didn't realise how good it was until I actually started getting in training and signed. Some of the players there coming through some of them are very, very good. Callum McNamara, been standout in nearly every game this year. It's been excellent. And I think we're deserved to be up there based on performances. But look, it's just one game at a time. Like, we know Longford are a good side. They already have their playoffs. I think people in Longford will be looking saying, are these focused now? Or are they coming down off a high after beating UCD? But we were just focusing on Longford first, and then obviously the Derry games start creeping closer and closer. Hopefully we'll have the playoffs sorted. But
yeah, I suppose you're in a position now where maybe one or two more wins would officially confirm it. So that would be a great way then to, I suppose, allow yourself to focus on the cup. But how important do you think it is to finish in a certain position in the league, or is it just a matter of getting into those playoffs?
Well, I think I think the higher up, obviously the draw kind of favours you more. But look, it doesn't matter who we get in the playoffs if we get there, fingers crossed. But like, you look at Galway, you look at Waterford, you look at Cork, and then you have Longford. I think any of them teams, you're going to say, right, we're still underdogs going into it. Still underdogs. Doesn't matter who we play. So we're just hoping to kind of continue the season and try and get a favourable draw for the playoffs as well. Get more seat people into Market Field and the away trip. And look, it could be another money spinner for the club.
In terms of the win against UCD at the weekend, I know this is looking a long way down the line, but does that give you great confidence going into the playoffs, because you've beaten a Premier Division team and potentially if you got that far, you could play them again in a playoff final?
Yeah, definitely. I think it was one of them ones, like when we looked at UCD's results, they went and they beat Dundalk 3-2 the week before, and we watched the Gary, our video analyst, he sent us on the clips. And but like, I think it kind of stands out for Tommy Barrett how good he actually is with his tactics. Any teams we've played, full-time teams, barring the two results against Cork where we were well beaten, Galway have struggled against us. We beat Cork and Turner's Cross. We beat Waterford in Marketsfield, and Longford, we beat Marketsfield, drew with them in... was the Flancare City College Stadium.
Bishopsgate.
It's still Flancare to me. But that's like, it just stands, it just kind of gives Tommy his credit on how good he actually is tactically, and everyone in the back room, that we know on our day we can beat anyone.
We obviously know Tommy very well on the show, and we have him on quite a bit, but I suppose we never actually really get a chance to ask one of his players what he's like, because he worked miracles at Limerick in such horrendous circumstances, as we know. And he would have been on during those difficult periods and told us about it. But he's come into Treaty, and again, he's worked miracles without being disrespectful to the players that are there. You're an amateur team in a division that has three full-time teams and then other well-resourced teams like Longford Town as well. So what he's done is absolutely amazing. What's he actually like in the dressing room?
I think it's kind of, how would I describe it? He's one of us. He comes in, he could be sitting there. I don't know if you see it, I've been on the bench a couple of times this year coming back from injuries and whatnot. If you look at our bench, Tommy's over playing two-touch with the lads while the warm-up is on with the subs. It just goes to show what kind of a man he is. He's been very good to me and everyone else, I'm sure. And I think the main thing is he's very understanding with regard to work and stuff like that. Even if we met traffic, whatever it may be, just get there safe, lads. There's no panic. That's fine. Where I've played under managers, and if you're late, they're barking down the throat at you.
I suppose he nearly has to be that way too, because it's an amateur team, and you know he's not going to get.
Yeah, I played under managers that were amateur teams as well, and to be honest with you, they could have dealt with it better, with people with work and stuff like that. If they're late, I know lads in the full time setup now that are still working, and it's a bit of give and take with both. If you're happy playing under someone, it'll show you your best football. And to be honest with you, I think it sums me up my season anyway, that I'm very happy playing with Limerick. And even the people around the club and all that, it's everything. Anyone need to know about Treaty, you just look at Tommy. Everyone along the club is the same ethos on it.
I find it interesting that you say that he's almost like one of the lads, because I think if you speak to most managers, that's one thing that they try not to be, because they don't want to form too close of relationships and then maybe have to drop a lad at the weekend. So does he have the ability as well to, can he give you a bollocking if he needs to as well?
Oh yeah. We were 2-0 up against Galway with 15 minutes to go and we lost 3-2, and he gave a right bollocking after that. But look, I think it's knowing when to do it and when lads need it and whatnot. But more often than not, Tommy is, his man management's unbelievable.
Is that one of his main strengths? Obviously, he's very good tactically, as you said, because he sets up against the full-time teams. They look full-time themselves, Treaty, but his man management, one of his main strengths.
Funny, his tactics have always been spot on, and even I watched Treaty last year, obviously, because friends of mine were playing, Joe Collins, Mark Ludden, Connor Melody. But I watched them against the full-time teams, and they just looked like they had it all figured out. They were very good tactically. But his man management, and his tactically is very good. But then you throw in Calla's coaching, Mick Shields' bit of coaching as well. It's a good formula.
Mm. You mentioned earlier on your time at Derry, and when I put it up on Twitter today to say you were coming on, there was a few Derry fans on, and they said that they actually liked you as a player at Derry, but it just didn't work out for whatever reason. what happened, I suppose?
I was young. I don't know, is that the reason it didn't work for me up there? There was obviously Rory Patterson was there as well, very good player.
There was a few shouts for Roddy's tactics.
Yeah. And I know Roddy didn't last too long up there, but I think if I was a bit more maybe mature in the way I understand the game now, I think it would have been a different story. I was very kind of raw going up there at the time. I actually got a couple of goals at the start of the year and I thought things were going well, and then looked like Peter Hutton came in and wasn't really getting, he just said to me, he said, look, I want you to stay here. But I said, look, you're not giving me the game time I'm looking for. I said, I came up here with the hope of playing week in, week out. Tactically, he changed it and went to a 4-3-3.
Do I remember you playing as a bit of a 10 at times at Derry?
Yeah, there was one game I actually played centre mid, which is not me. I'm known for scoring goals, but I played a bit as a 10. And then I think it was it could have been Dundalk, actually. Actually, it was Dundalk, because there was Stephen O'Donnell, Richie Towell were in the middle against myself and Danny Ventry.
Wow.
And that was for a fella that's, 19, getting a run around in Oriel isn't exactly the most pleasing thing on a Friday evening, but Look, I just wanted to play. I played anywhere, but I played a bit everywhere. And then you had Mickey Duffy, you had Fats, Patrick McLennan, you had all. The squad was unbelievable, but just didn't work out for me at that time. And I reckon now I've matured, say, in the football side of things. And I'm looking at it and I'm saying to myself, well, if I knew then what I know now, or what I picked up along the way, it would have been a different story. But again, lovely people up there. I enjoyed my time living up there. A lot of good people in the club as well that I came across. Obviously, I was only there for a couple of months.
Yeah.
But I look forward to going back up there. Yeah.
Yeah, great city. Look, just to wrap it up, have you surpassed your wildest expectations this season, 16-22 in an injury hit season?
Yeah. Well, look, I had a goal at the start of the season that I never tell anybody about what I'm looking to hit, and I've blown it out of the water. So with a couple of games left, I'm going to try and readjust that target and just see, can I chip in with a couple more goals and see where it takes me.
And are you feeling fit and healthy at the moment?
Yeah, I feel grand. I feel great.
I think you were telling me off air there, I hope you don't mind me saying this, but I think you've suffered with sickness as much as injury.
Yeah, Jesus, I had COVID. And I'm asthmatic as well. And when the COVID hits and you're asthmatic, it's not a nice place to be. Like, you'd be struggling to breathe at times. But yeah, look, like, even when I say it to Tommy, he was like, right, we'll just manage it. And sometimes you can be awful frustrating when you are being managed. Say, this game doesn't suit you. We're going to leave you out. We need you for X, Y, and Z. It's very easy to lose the kind of focus of where you're going with this. Like, and that you need to understand, because everybody wants to play every minute of every game. But even it comes to 60, 70 minutes, Tommy says to me, hold on, we have another game the weekend, the following week. See how this game is balancing out. Like, the squad we have there, Success, Connor Melody, they're all big additions to us. Like,
is that where your maturity now comes into it as well? Whereas if you were a young fella there, you'd say, F this and throw the toys out of the pram. Whereas now you can see the bigger picture.
I'd be well capable of throwing the toys out of the pram, especially as a young lad. But no, now I kind of understand that, look, if I can give him a good 70, 80 minutes, whatever, brilliant. We have the players that can come on as well, and vice versa. If Success can only give a good 70, 80 minutes, that's fine. And I hopefully can impact it from the bench then as well.
Promise this is the last question. Was that Tara goal, the hat-trick goal, was that one of your best against UCD the other night?
It was one of my favourite goals, yeah. I think the occasion, the whole lot brought it, kind of adds to it. But there was one against Bray.
Was it off the week before as well?
Yeah, left foot, yeah. Now, I had one very similar to it against Bray the week before, and then after about 3 or 4 minutes, I hit the post. It was very similar. I just had to drop in and turn. But I know if I can catch the ball, like, I'm comfortable with my left and right anyway. But I was just delighted to see it fly in.
Look, and I have to say, we actually are genuinely enjoying seeing your goals this season. We rib you a lot on the podcast, but you're having a stellar campaign. I think you've proved a lot of us wrong here in the studio. But it's been great catching up with you, and look, very, very best of luck for that semi-final game. I can't wish you luck for the playoffs, obviously, but for the FAI Cup, it would be great to see you running out with the Aviva. So best of luck for the rest of the year.
Thanks very much, Kieran.
Are you enjoying the show? Please consider buying us a beer via our website betweenthestripes.net or head directly to buymeacoffee.com/BTSLOI. Thank you for your continued support of Between the Stripes.
Right, let's move on to the First Division games that happened at the weekend. And this is the home of the First Division, but disgracefully, we actually forgot to preview this game last week. You didn't say, oh, Jesus, lad, we never talked about that as we were working through the show. But anyway, look, two of us in it, so we'll both take the blame. Probably one of the biggest games of the First Division season, we forgot to preview it, but lucky enough, we did have that interview with James Dooner the week before, so I was able to put that out on our socials, so we got away with it, I think. I don't think anyone noticed. Cork all looking all set for promotion on the night, but Galway 2, Cork 1. But look, this is just delaying the inevitable, isn't it?
That's right. Well said. You're learning every day. yeah, look, I think I think that that's a headline from this. It was nice for Galway to get the win, but too little, too late.
Not have to look at Cork get promoted there on the night in your home ground.
Their own face, absolutely. That was the highlight of the night, really. Probably that bicycle flicky type goal that was scored as well. That was nice, but as you said, it's laying the inevitable. I think it's probably nicer for Cork that they probably, who are they playing next, you know? They're playing Wexford at home next time out, so
there you go. Great chance to wrap it up.
Wrap it up at home in front of your own fans. Do whatever you want, man. Well, look forward to next season. Well, yeah, within reason.
Yeah, look, there was obviously a lot of talk about some of the issues that was off the pitch in this one. The Cork fans invading the pitch after they scored, letting off pyro on the pitch. Announcement went out if they didn't leave the pitch that the game was in chance of being called off. We touched on the Bowes incident as well yesterday. Bottles been thrown at players, lighters been thrown at players. Seen it in other games over the course of the last couple of weeks as well. It's been a huge issue in European football for a while now, but it's crept into League of Ireland. Anytime a player scores now and celebrates at all, there's lighters and bottles coming his way. For me, it's time for the FAI to take a proper stance on this. First time you do it, doesn't matter if it's one bottle, empty bottle, a chip, it doesn't matter what it is. Something thrown on the pitch at a player, you get a fine. You get a good fine. Second time it happens, you're behind closed doors. The third time it happens, point deduction. Only way to kick this out of the game.
Yeah. I was thinking about that.
Like, what are we waiting for? Are we waiting for a player to lose an eye?
Yeah, you love that. No, I'm not saying you would love that. I'm just saying you love saying, oh, something like a head blowing off him by pyro, or a player to lose a head or an ear or whatever.
Wouldn't be that coin, a bottle, or a
didn't it feel like his head, the back of his head blown off there recently with pyro in Scotland or something?
I don't know.
I think I read something about that. He's been in hospital for a while, I think.
Right.
Anyway, it probably happens all the time. But I genuinely don't know. I think the point is that the FAI have done themselves a serious, serious amount of damage. Everybody that listens to this podcast knows what I'm about to say.
Yeah.
Rolling back from behind the closed doors, they've absolutely, they didn't just shoot themselves in the foot, they've blown their leg completely off from the hip. The backtracking there, when they could have said, we're the boss, we tell you how this works. They were told, or whatever decision was made, wasn't made, and now look at it. Mm. There was an incident up in Drogheda that I've never heard that in about since.
No.
There's more about it on this podcast than there was from anybody else. Us pair of clowns talking about it. I didn't hear anything else about it. A ref rolling around the floor like.
Linesman,
whatever. Assistant ref. Nothing done. Nothing said. So, like, if that's the type of stuff that you're, by not doing that, not taking action, severe action, you're condoning it. And you don't even have to go to a game to see stuff being thrown at players and referees and officials. So when's it going to stop? As you said, I don't like thinking, oh, a fella gets a head blown off him, then it'll stop. There has to be severe, severe, severe penalties for this. If the crowds are being segregated, which they are in a lot of games, then but then you'll have fans going, oh, well, they were sleeper agents from the opposition, you know. Like Rovers fans in with the Bulls crowd throwing lighters at Shells players or whatever crap does be coming out of fan bases. Not saying that anyone was saying that, but just that's the type of stuff you do be hearing. What? Who's going to take responsibility? I've said it before, and feel free to come in on this. Going to a football match doesn't entitle you to act like an animal.
Yeah.
Which it seems like a lot of people think it's okay. Yeah, I'm going to act like a savage. I wouldn't throw a chewing gum on the ground outside of a football match, but I'm going to throw a bottle of stuff at another player when I walk into a ground because I paid €15 into a stadium.
Too many people. Too many people defending it as well. Too many people defending it online. I don't know if that's the genuine.
If Jack Moylan scored that goal and then pulled down his trousers and mooned the whole Bulls fan base, they're still not entitled to throw at them.
No.
Sorry, you're not entitled to throw at anybody. The mental gymnastics required that people are having, not just Bulls fans, but fans from.
It's across the league. What about raise we say all the time? Oh, well, this fella enticed us, and this happened, and this happened. As you said, the mentality is incredible. I'm going to go into this ground and act like an absolute savage for 90 minutes.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with a fella There's nothing wrong with a lad going in, neffing and blinding and giving a bit of abuse to players. But throwing stuff onto the pitch, I don't know what comes across people's mind when they do that.
And just on the Cork fans, or alleged Cork fans, down in Galway. They ran onto the pitch. So were they throwing pyro and stuff?
It was pyro let off on the pitch. I don't know. Look, there was a fair bit of talk after the game. But this crowd did this and this crowd did that. But again, I think...
Stewart did something or something. I've seen something about that.
Just needs to be personal responsibility there. You're a grown adult. Most of them are anyway. This lad is waving at me like, you know, that entitled me to split him down the middle with a bottle. Like, you know,
yeah, just... he cupped his ears at him.
Look, we'll move on from this because we've spent far too much on the podcast as you're talking about it, but that's because I'm just flabbergasted that there's not more been done about this, because it's every week now.
Every week. Like, I don't know what fans want. I don't know what fans want. They talk about, too many stewards, too many guards.
Yeah, because that's actually a great point, because you know what's one of the biggest pains in the hoop going to a game now in the Aviva or going to the European games? They take the bottle cap off.
Yeah.
And then you're trying to put it under the seat. And next thing, someone walks in by and knocks the whole lot. And people give out about that. We now have to do that.
I destroyed myself in Fanta there in Europe when Green broke through.
Oh, you did, yeah.
Yeah.
Because in Tala have had to go a step further. No bottle at all now. It's into a plastic cup. Pin the hole.
Lots of plastic being wasted.
But this has to be done now, because people can't be trusted not to throw the bottle. So these are small things that people don't realise. Your actions, you throwing that on the pitch, is going to more security at the next game. More searches going in. No bottle. You know what I mean? It's...
I'm going to go keep on this tangent, right? And feel free to cut this, right? I was talking, the old pair went to Garrett Brooks, right? Not only did they go the first Friday, they went last Sunday as well.
Garrett Brooks Ultras.
Well, they're not. They were both presents. They wouldn't be arse going to Mass nearly, never mind going up to Garrett Brooks twice in one weekend. But anyway, I was asking the old boy, is like, what was security like on the Friday? Oh, security, they were checking handbags and they were checking bags and jackets and stuff. And it was quite, you know, it was good. A lot of people in the one place and blah, blah, blah. And what about the Sunday? Oh, no one checking nothing. He could have brought in a machine gun and it would have been grand. Right? But the point is, no one was looking for trouble at that. But look, I think fans like to complain about, and Bulls fans complaining about trying to get in on
yesterday.
That was another thing. Go show up on time. There's plenty of people there on time. Yes, it might have been, you know, things, scanners broken and stuff like that. But that's what we get in the League of Ireland. We don't have high-tech stuff. The stuff that we have is high-tech, and it was probably thrown away from other European leagues in the noughties. The point is, you have to, if you want quicker entry to games, less searching, less this, less that, and less the other, well, then you're going to have to stop doing these types of things. It's the only way around it.
Yeah, fair point. In the first division as well, Cove 1 at Lone 3. At Lone ending the season with a bit of form?
Absolutely, and relegating Cove Rambler to the
wooden last spoon.
Place, the wooden spoon. And, you know, we had the Cove CEO on earlier on this year, and he was disappointed with their return from in their centenary year. And unfortunately, it hasn't looked like... hasn't got any better, really. 70 goals conceded this season.
Oh, wow. Wow.
That's a lot of goals conceded.
Yeah.
And look, it's, you know, we talked already about Shane Keegan coming into the top job there, and he's a huge job. Like, you know, yes. similar to Sligo in with John Russell, he's a big off season. Shane Keegan has a monumental job now. Yeah. Because he's
starting from nowhere, though. At least Sligo are starting from mid table, we'll say. You know, a few good players there, Aidan Keane, all the rest.
But it's gonna be a five year job.
I was just gonna say that it's three anyway. It's five. It's a huge job. Huge job.
But like, where are they gonna be? Like, is seventh for them next year a success? Yes. If they're in the playoffs in 2025, that's job done. That's the biggest success they could possibly have.
Yeah.
At the minute.
Yeah.
It's a tough old place, it's in Coleman's Park at the minute. Particularly losing against Athlone.
Bottom so of the first division in general is, isn't it? I mean,
well, the whole first division is emotional enough at the best of times, but down the bottom, and after taking a baiting off Athlone, you know, Athlone are 3 points ahead with the game in hand. Athlone won three of their last five.
Yeah. Look, we said it before, they have the quality there, but will they be able to keep the best players and add to it? We'll wait and see. Games this weekend, Longford against Treaty.
Unfortunately, we won't be at it. Thank you, FAI. You made a right hames of that. Hard to really know for Longford Town. You know, we carry on last week. It's hard to, I'd say, no matter who you are, it's hard to keep motivated when you've lost your job for 5 weeks.
Yeah, so even just subconsciously, I'd say it's easy to switch off.
Mm.
Treaty, not mathematically there, so they need to win just to seal it. I'd say both teams would take a draw here, wouldn't they?
They would take a draw. I think I'd want Longford to win this game because the last time Longford played Treaty, they got absolutely bet around the place 3-0.
Come on massively since then.
Longford have?
Yeah.
Yes, they have, absolutely. They've won four in their last five, and deservedly so. I'd want them to keep plugging away. I think they have the ability, particularly with Adi Amo. It was the first or second game against Treaty down there? I think it was his first game.
Yeah, he signed that
down in Treaty that time. Yeah, so he's come on. I think he's the club's top scorer. So I don't know about that. But anyway, look, he scored six since he's joined. I'd say he'd score one or two on Saturday, and let's say Treaty are out doing a bit of celebrating. 2-1 Longford.
Okay.
Excuse me, 2-0 Longford.
2-0 Longford. I'm going 1-1. I think, unfortunately, with the kickoff time, the day that's in it, I think small crowd. I think the atmosphere...
the kickoff time, don't mention that to Treaty.
I'd say it could be just quite a flat atmosphere. Might be hard for everyone just to get themselves up for this one. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. Bray against Waterford. The Carolina should be fairly flat as well. This is on the Sunday though, so they might get a few old stragglers out to it.
This game's on Sunday, is it?
I think this game's on the Sunday, yeah.
Oh, right. What time is that?
I don't think it's an evening kickoff. Let me have a quick look for you here.
3 p.m.
3 p.m. You'll head. Oh, no. Will you be back? No? When are you flying back? No, you won't be back, sure, will you?
No, because we're flying into bleeding Belfast.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right, anyway, this game, how's it going to go?
Look,
just on Waterford, actually. They're in the playoffs, obviously.
They are.
Longford aren't that far behind them, are they? How many points are Town behind Waterford?
Two or three, is it? Three?
Look, the Cup semi-final isn't for a month now. They've got to just get back to business in the league, haven't they? But even as a player, do you hold that little bit back now? I'm in the playoffs, I'm in a semi-final. Do I want to go out and break myself up now for meaningless games, really?
I don't know, yeah, player or not a player, like I don't know.
And even like playing in a packed out RSC the other night, unbelievable atmosphere, and now you're going to Bray. It's going to be flat as a pancake.
Flat as a pancake would be welcome. I'd say it's going to be lower than that. I hear what you're saying. I think, look, you just have to play it the right way. You have to be professional. You have to keep going in the right, doing the right things all the time when you're trying to get it, you know, get into a cup final and get out of a playoff situation. I think Waterford are going to win this. I'm going to go 2-0 Waterford.
Okay, I'm going to go 1-1 again just for the reasons that I listed. Looking to the Premier Division on Thursday night, I'm hoping I might get...
Are you okay? You're not copying all of my predictions.
I'm hoping I might be able to sneak the phone out now or something over in Scotland on Thursday and get a look at this. Shells against Rovers.
Sneak the phone out. This is on Thursday?
This is on Thursday. Thursday evening.
Oh, I didn't realise that. This is in Talca, is it? Cheney Mac, yeah, like, look, at the end of the day, this is a Dublin derby, would have been a big one, a bigger one a few years ago. Who won the reverse of this, do you remember?
I can't remember.
Oh. I'm trying to think.
I can't really remember much about any of these games this season, funny enough.
I can't remember many Shells games at all. I think
I was at a few now, and they weren't classics, so that's why I wouldn't remember much about them. I just have the old reliable flash score out here. Let's have a look at the head-to-head fixtures from earlier in the year. 2-0 Rovers, 2-1 Rovers, 2-0 Rovers. So they've won all three this year. Or sorry, two this year. They've only played twice this year. So 2-1 and 2-0.
Yeah. So that means Shells have to go back to Talla before the end of the season.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oh, I remember. Yeah, Green. Do you remember Green's 89th minute winner earlier in the year?
I don't.
Real thunderbolt.
Oh, yeah, yeah, I do. Good man. Geez, that's a lifetime ago, that is.
That was in Talca. So that was a last minute winner for them. So, look, this is huge for Rovers, isn't it? To bounce back from what was a really bad week last week.
It was, yeah. What way are you going? I'll let you go first for this one.
Okay.
Rovers have lost their last three away.
Yeah. Rovers to turn it around 2-1.
Okay, I'm going to go 1-0 Rovers.
Okay. Hearts Bows. This is going to be interesting.
Jesus. Last time out, they both took hammerings. And this is up in Ballybuffet, is it?
It is.
Ah, Jesus. Oh, God. Fair play to any Bows fan that goes up to that.
Yeah.
They don't deserve anybody there. They
Someone said that today. They said, if you're going to this and not going to the women's game, you deserve everything you get, as seen a Bows fan saying.
Oh, what are the women doing?
I'm not sure. You're usually a good man for following the Women's National League, so they must have a decent game coming up, but... we will try and get a bit more Women's National League coverage on the pod over the next while. It's difficult to squeeze everything in, but it definitely deserves some coverage, particularly as we get to the big points of the season. But look, Harps against Bows. Can Harps get even a point out of this?
Oh, they can. Absolutely. I'm going to go for a 1-1 draw. I think Harps will win it, though.
Do you, yeah?
Yeah, you see, who's just imagine I'm a Bows player now, right? And I'm playing like crap because I've been playing like crap all year. And the manager's got sacked. And I'm still here knocking around playing like shite. Who's going to get me to play well? Who around me is going to...
Well, the answer there should be yourself. But I think we've seen yesterday that's not the case with some of these Bows players.
Absolutely not. You look around, you sit around the room, you're sitting on the bus all the way up to bleeding Ballybuffet on that bad road. And you're just going, who's going to dig me out? Who am I going to dig out?
Mm.
You're there looking around at the bus and there's no one saying anything. You're all listening to your crap tunes.
Yeah, doing nothing. I've seen people saying that yesterday. That Bows dressing room at the moment, like, it can't be good.
It couldn't have been good for the last 6 or 8 months. Do you know? Like, I will say one thing, and I only thought about it there the other day. Longford Town played Bohemians out in Abbottstown, middle of January.
Yeah.
I text my a good friend of mine, a Bows fan. I told him they were crap. I was there. Awful season.
Yeah.
Dawson Devoy had a shocker and nearly broke a lad's leg. The Eagles.
And diving in a preseason.
Dive twice in a preseason game. Up in a rock hard AstroTurf pitch in the middle of winter. Clown. But like, they were crap then. There was no leaders then. There was no one doing anything right. And now look at it.
Yeah.
9 months on, they're no better off.
You've convinced me. 1-0 Harps.
I'm gonna go 2-1 Harps.
Oh, you're changing it.
Yeah.
You've convinced yourself.
I'll convince myself.
Yeah. Look, that's it. It's a snappier show this week because I suppose there's less games on. But as I said, it was really important that we sat down and got something out there before we head away. And we will be back next week with another pod. But
hopefully in the whole of our health as well.
Hopefully, please God. Ireland fans travelling over there. Just watch yourselves. Be careful. But no, look, great to have Enda Coren on the pod. As I said to him in the interview, we love jibing him and winding him up on the podcast. But I think we're actually both pleasantly surprised and very pleased from the season he's having. Hopefully it won't do any damage to Longford down the line in the playoffs. But, you know, the season he's having, it's really good to see.
Oh, it's brilliant. Yeah, look.
Like a lad that stepped out of the league, was playing non-league. We thought we'd seen the last of him. He comes back and he's absolutely banging the goals in.
Yeah, well, look, he's played for half the league itself, like, so. But look, he's a great character. He's the type of person you want knocking around. You know, we talked about other players that like can't take even stick. The mildest of criticism. Never mind stick. But this fella is the type of character you want in the league. Good crack online. Good crack. You meet him at games. He's digging you out for no reason at all. He's the person you want. And he's banging in goals. He's backing it up in the pitch.
Yeah.
What more do you want? Like, it's a great story, and I'm absolutely delighted he got a hat-trick, even though I picked UCD to go through. But
yeah, so did I.
For him to get a hat-trick is brilliant. And look, hopefully he'll score a couple in the brand new next year they're in a final. Wouldn't it be great to see Treaty, for all their... you know, whinging about the times and stuff like that. Wouldn't it be great to see Treaty, though, in the final?
Yeah, would be.
No?
It'd be a great story. I hope we get a good competitive final.
It would be bad if it wasn't competitive.
Yeah.
It would be bad. But at the end of the day, it'd be, there's three professional teams left and one amateur team.
Yeah, and plus, you know, with hopefully Kerry coming in, I mean, great story. Great. FAI, go sell this. This team formed 2 years ago. Look at them. They're in Europe now.
But there you go.
You know what I mean? It's there to be told, that story. Even if they don't reach the final, like, the FAI really should be pumping out as much treaty material as they can, because it's a brilliant story. And Jason, that listens to the pod regularly, he's been on with us here plenty of times. He's been having little jabs at us, you know, calling Wexford and Ian Ryan the media darlings. And I think it's probably
media
fair
darlings.
Look, Ian Ryan's done a great job, but we probably don't say it enough. Tommy Barrett, wow.
We probably don't say it enough, to be quite fair. I suppose part of that was because there were probably more of a pain for a lot of teams. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, if you look at Wexford last season, they're at nothing. Do you know what I mean? Whereas Treaty were always, they got into the playoff, sure.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like that told a story in itself. Do you know what I mean? So I suppose they probably deserve a bit more talking about. But like, look, we've had End on a couple of times. We've had Tommy on once or twice this season. And we've had, what's his name? Oh, Jenny.
Mark Ludden.
So we do try and cover.
Yeah, because I seen Jason was Jason was tweeting other podcasts. Oh, you know, you're going to have a treaty guest on this week. Jason, you don't need to be listening to other podcasts. We've got it covered here.
Wasting your time, lad. How much time in his hands is Jason?
We've got the first division covered to a T, although we did forget that big game last week. And we've got treaties back, Jason. Don't worry, even though we give out about ego a bit. But definitely plenty of treaty chat on this pod. But just before we go, guys, I suppose the fact we're travelling, we might as well chat about it. Can Ireland end the Nations League with two wins from two?
Definitely, like, it's going to be a different kettle of fish over in Scotland. Is it Hampden, is it?
Yeah, Hampden, yeah. Right, haven't been there yet, so I'm looking forward to that. I was in Celtic Park for the qualifier 2014, but...
And Ireland lost that, didn't they?
They did. Maloney with the goal.
Oh, God. Yeah, look, it's going to be... Look, I think the March, was it March that they bet Scotland or June?
Oh, Jesus. Yeah, well, it wasn't March. It's more recent June. Than that, isn't it?
Sorry. So I think that's great that Ireland have that over Scotland, and particularly such a convincing win against them. Now I know it's at home, but Ireland
hammered them.
But they haven't exactly been prolific. And like, even they were probably some of the best goals that Ireland has scored in the last few years.
Yeah.
They were unbelievable. Particularly Parrott's goal. Like, that was genius from a couple of players. Like, whatever about Obafemi's goal, that was class to watch. But I think there was...
I really liked Parrott's goal.
Yeah. So to have players like that knocking around and in good form and playing regularly, I think that was a problem as well. In the not too distant past, where we had players starting for us that were barely getting a look in their clubs, I think a lot more players that are knocking around the Irish first team are playing more regularly, no matter what level it's at.
Mm.
I haven't seen enough of Robbie Brady. I know he's back in the squad. I'm not sure, you know. I haven't seen him play a good game for Ireland in a while.
Well, he hasn't been in the squad for a year and a half, but yeah, no, look, after the Euros, he didn't do anything really, did he? But look, I suppose he hasn't played under Stephen Kenny, has he? So that'll be interesting to see.
Absolutely, and look, hopefully it's a good trip. Everyone has a good time and safe time. Everyone gets back home in one piece. I know it's only Scotland we're going to get there as the boon, but...
I was over there before, as I said, and it's a different trip. You have to watch yourself.
Is it?
Yeah.
I've never been in an Ireland trip.
You walk down the wrong street, lad, you'll know about it.
All right. Well, I'll stick close to you, Barker. You'll mind me.
And that's not even from football trips. I've just been to Scotland for other things, and wrong accent, wrong place.
Oh, well,
not good.
Probably the same as... Same as lots of places, but your luck.
Do you know what? It's more backwards than places in the north.
In the north of Ireland?
Yeah, it's more backwards. You really do meet some people that are just totally backwards.
Oh, right, okay. You'll have to show me them.
I'll be staying as far away from them people as possible. Look, anyone that's traveling, stay safe. And look, you might even be listening to this pod on your way over. So if you are, I hope you're having a good trip. And we'll be back next week with another edition of the show. But to end it, our guest this week and to everyone that's listened, thanks a million. And we'll speak to you all next week.
Thanks for listening. Check out BetweenTheStripes.net for all your favourite BTS content in one place. See you all next week.